this morning. I have several scriptures to look at. Bear with me for a second. It is out of Daniel. And hold on, I just got to look for something at the moment. It is in, I have it right here in front of me, and I don't see it. It is in Daniel chapter, I have it in my, there it is, right there in front of me. Chapter 3. I would love to read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, I can't do that. I'm going to start at around verse 10. I'm going to go all the way through verse 25. Now, those of us who have are students of the Word of God, that we've been studying the Bible for years, we know what this scenario is all about. It's dealing with the what we call the three Hebrew, Daniel and the three Hebrew children. If you want to put a subject to the message this morning, it is where is your faith? And that's a question. And when I ask that question, I'm not talking about how the United States defines faith, how the world defines faith. It's how God defines faith. We know that's found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, which prayerfully I'll get to as well this morning. And faith, according to James, that faith without works is dead. There has to be a corresponding action to what we believe. And I believe we get a really good picture of that in, with certain people, especially with the old covenant. It says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 10, you, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews who have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shall I read the good book? He's not looking for the one that says, well, you know, and then I talked to the man upstairs. I hear athletes saying that. I mean, after they win the championship and all that, and they say, well, the man upstairs. I'm like, man, you're not even saying his name. What do you mean the man upstairs? Who are you talking about? It's not the man upstairs. God is bigger than any man. Let me keep reading. I don't want to turn down some idols this morning, but maybe I need to. Verse 6 again, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means you got to put some effort in it. It's not, again, out of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. It's not that we're working for our salvation. That's religion. But we do walk out our salvation. That's relationship. And so the fact that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that's why we're early morning prayer. That's why we're on this phone right now. That's why, again, in a couple of weeks, we'll be assembling ourselves with that. We not only just, not only thank God, just hear each other's voices, but we'll be able to see each other's faces. And so anyway, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as of yet, moved with fear. Good kind of fear, not the fear that has torment, that comes from the devil. The good fear is the fear of God. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Men, husbands, daddies, mothers, prepare an ark for the saving of your house. Your children, your grandchildren, whoever come in your house, you make your home an ark. Jesus is the ark by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of faith. By faith, Abraham, you know, Abraham called a friend of God. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should not receive, which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, because obedience is better than sacrifice. And he went out, not knowing where he went, but he went. Not knowing where he went, but he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land, of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city with half foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What city we want to live in? The only city we need to live in, the city that God has made. And God is residing in us. You can say God has made us a city. God is residing in us. He's taken up a habitation in us. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died, what? In faith. When we hear about someone passing away, pray for Deacon Carter, knowing his dad, and called me last night, dad, with the Lord now. And, you know, I kind of had a loss of words, but, you know, the what's, when someone ceases to live in this earth, we miss them, we have memories, we feel something. But the testimony is the only question that needs to be answered is, we need, if I'm going to die, I need to die in the faith. I need to die in the faith. No one wants to die. Nobody wants. We all want a long life. I mean, it's just inbred in us. Everyone wants a long, prosperous, happy. I mean, y'all know me. When I say prosperity, I am not talking about money. I'm talking about, you know, have a God in your life. That's prosperity. To me, seed time and harvest, meaning giving your life over to be an evangelist, to be a witness in the earth, that you can win souls into the kingdom. I'm going to say verse 13 again. These are that. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I got to get going. These are that in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly. You know, Bishop Boone was talking about eternity training. And that you know, that's a play that comes this pursuit for the eternal. And that is more important to us than this earthly realm. We know the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but we know the God of this world system, the banking system, the business system, the education system, and the political system, and the law system, and the God of this world, he's corrupted those things, and that's why there's so much corruption in the earth. But our God is not corrupt. Okay, I gotta move on. Boy, so much here, man. I wish I could read it all, but I gotta move on. I tell you what, let me look at one more verse. Well, I'll do this. I'm gonna keep reading. I'm gonna be off in about 5-10 minutes. Okay. see, I'm gonna go back to. I'm gonna go to verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed. Watch this. God is not ashamed to be called their God. Now, in your relationship with God, can I ask God this question about me? What does he think about me? Would God be ashamed to call himself my God. For he had prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, his son. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. That was, you know, we know that Isaac was a picture of Jesus, of whom it was said, then Isaac shall thy seed be called. Counting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both his sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of the staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, we made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born at 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I love the movie, The Ten Commandments. Not all that, you know, it's not totally accurate. You know, we see in the movie where, you know, Moses becomes a man and he finds out who he is and all that. But according to the scripture, he says when Moses, when he had come to years, now that was a different thing there, because remember, normally a Jewish child, 12, especially a boy, 12 at age 12 is considered a man. That's what they have a bar mitzvah and all that. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's faith, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And that says a whole lot. Moses knew exactly who he was, and he made a decision. He didn't want, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't want the king's delicacies. They didn't want what this world has to offer for pleasure and what the world calls gain and what the world calls, you know, idol worship. That they wanted something deeper and all that. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. I'm finished reading, but I know it's almost 11 o'clock, and I've been talking about 45 minutes or so. I'm not really keeping track on the time at all, and I'm just mindful of it. I want to have, you haven't heard these words, I pray this is not another message. I think these words that we read in the Bible, if they should, they do apply to today. Different ways, but they apply to today. This virus, this violence that's in the earth, there's a design to it to get our focus off of God and get our focus on the issues, the problem, the anger, the hatred, the sickness, the death. God wants us to keep our eyes steadfast on him. Father, it's my prayer in Jesus' name that for everyone listening, I don't know who may be on this conference call that's not a part of our fellowship, but I extend to you an invitation to be welcomed into the family of God, to receive God into your life. Yes, I understand you have physical needs that need to be met. You need food, you need water, you need resources to live. And this world is going after these things with such fervency and with such desire. I mean, there are people going into the governor's mansions armed, demanding their rights, the right to assembly, the right to go to the beach, and the right. If that's all you think you're living for, it's a life that's being wasted. God created you for a reason and for a purpose. He has a calling and a choosing on you, but you have to yield to it. And while what I say may be simple, and I believe it should be, it's not easy. I'm not offering you an easy life. I'm not offering you an easy Christian life. I'm not offering you, I'm not saying to you, come to God, come to Jesus, come to Christ, and all your problems will be solved. You'll never have another rainy day, and you'll always have enough money, and you'll always have enough this, and you'll always have enough that. You'll never get sick again in your life. You'll never have to deal with the loss of a loved one. You'll never have to deal with disappointments. I'm not offering all that. I believe, stand on the promises of God. Every good and perfect gift, the Bible says, comes from Him. It doesn't mean everything that looks good. It means everything that is good. Think about this in your life. What is good in your life? I'm not talking about what looks good in your life. I'm talking about what is good in your life. And you need to make the distinction between what looks good and what is. Because everything that is good is coming from God. And the only one you need to be thanking for that is God. Thank you, God, that what I have, this is good, just as God beheld what He had created. And the Bible says He rested on the seventh day, and He took a moment to behold His creation, and He said, behold, this is very good. I want you to know, God, when He looks at you, He sees very good, because He created you. He made you. Because of His decree, you have been made alive. But you're separated from Him because man has been born with a nature. You didn't have anything to do with it. And it's unfair. It's really unfair. But the good news is there's a remedy. There's an antidote. The antidote is not in religion. It's not you getting back active in church, as good as that may be. It's not in having the Bible on your living room table, as good as that maybe is to be. It's not sending your children to Sunday school, but you don't go to church. Or men, it's not like telling your wife to go take your children to church, but you don't go. No, I'm not talking about that. It's beyond that. This is a life that's hidden in Him. So I'm going to say a prayer and ask you to give your heart to God. And I'm going to ask you to mean this with all your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, come into my heart, save me today. I commit my life to You. I give myself over to You in the name of the Lord. Help me to live for You for the rest of my days. And I'll give You the glory and thanksgiving and worship You for all the days of my life with Your help. In Jesus' name, amen.